Among the four Gospels, the story of Jesus' birth really takes all four of them to get the complete picture. And there are many parts of it that are only found in the Gospel of Luke. Don't buckle him in, I'm going to need him later, okay? Just letting you know, okay? After all, I'm going to talk about a baby. Despite the fact that there are some parts of the story that are only found in Luke, if I asked you to fill in the details, if I started, have you played the party game where one person starts a story and everybody else fills in? You know, you just keep it going. If I started it somewhere over here, by the time we got over there, we'd have the complete story. Though there are some details that are a little bit hard to remember. So I'll jolt your memories just a little bit. The story actually starts not with Mary and Joseph, but with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And so the beginning of the book of Luke starts with an angelic visit, not the one to Mary, but the one to Elizabeth. Actually, the first one was to Zechariah, saying his wife was going to have a baby, and he wound up speechless. So that sets us up for the next visit to Mary and the circumstances of the beginning of Mary's story. In the sixth month actually of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you just start reading here, you won't know what it's referring to as a sixth month. You might think they mean the sixth month of the year. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I need a baby for a moment. Then I'm going to read some more. How is he more comfortable, with or without the blanket? I'll take him either way. All right. Hey there. You did wake up when they took you out the first time for the candle lighting. "I know that the birth of this child was accompanied by great joy. The reason I know that is because his grandfather sent me a picture the same day he was born, texted me a picture of him holding the baby, and he looked so joyful, so delighted. The birth of every baby ought to be accompanied with great delight and joy, shouldn't it?" "Yeah. I'm not even going to ask how many of you have grandchildren, because I know the answer. And those of you who don't have grandchildren, most of you have children. If you don't have children, you probably have nieces and nephews in whom you take great delight. And you have. Yeah, that's better, isn't it? Because you can see. And you have rejoiced at births. The birth of every baby should be accompanied by great joy and delight. Not only the birth, but the announcement of a baby should be accompanied by great joy and delight. I'm going to be a grandma again in June. I'm so excited. I've already started buying. And it should be that way for the birth of every child, shouldn't it? But what about the birth of the greatest child that ever lived? Was the announcement of his imminent birth a source of great joy and delight? Or was it a little more complicated than that? You gonna play with my hair or my earring? I'll give you back to your mom. I have some serious preaching to do here.
You may rip it out.
But thank you for being a wonderful object lesson for us this morning. Mary received this news that she was going to have a baby, and her first response was, okay, do with me whatever you want to do, God. I'm ready. But we have to think that there was a little fear and trembling in her. She was betrothed, but she wasn't married. The circumstances were not ideal. She lived in this little tiny town, Nazareth, 100 people. That town had fewer people than are in here this morning. Think about that. A very small town. Everybody knew everybody's business. There's no way she could hide a pregnancy. So what would happen to her? She must have been pondering and debating what to do. Her options were fewer than women have nowadays, but she did have options. So what did she do? She left town. She left town. Now, some have said she left town to go help Elizabeth, but in the sixth month, a woman doesn't need a whole lot of help. Ninth month, yeah. Lots of help, and afterwards. But she only visited Elizabeth for 3 months. So she left shortly after the baby was born. She didn't go to help with the baby's birth. She left town. Probably to get away and think about this, to ponder. And here's what happened. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby inside Elizabeth was the first one to really leap with joy because Jesus was going to be born. Its father didn't know yet. Grandparents didn't know yet. Elizabeth was the second one to know. Well, actually, John the Baptist inside Elizabeth was the second one to know, and Elizabeth was third. In a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Are you ready? Carl told me he almost came up and snatched the mic out of my hands last week and told me to go home. My coughing isn't going to get that bad this week, Carl. We're going to be okay. So the second person to leap with joy at the news of this baby was Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Now, the part that's the blessing is that Elizabeth blessed Mary for believing that what the angel said is true. These words are unique. She didn't bless her because she was going to bear the Messiah. She blessed her for her faith, for believing that what the angel said was true. And the third person to express joy, only the third person, was Mary. John the Baptist was first, Elizabeth was second, Mary third. And this is what Mary said, and this is one of the most well-known poems in all of Scripture. It's called the Magnificat, because Mary magnifies the name of God in her response to what Elizabeth said. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful for Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. It's a mystery why Mary went to stay with Elizabeth. Scripture doesn't tell us. It might be true. I'm supposing that maybe she went away to spend some time alone thinking, where her mom wouldn't be watching her all the time. She was still living at home, as far as we know. Would she have gone away to think about whether to give away the baby? Would she have gone away to make a decision whether she was going to keep the baby? Every child's birth should be accompanied with joy and great thanksgiving and triumph. But that isn't always so. Many of you know that I've started meeting with a group of grandparents at our elementary school. Grandparents who are raising their grandkids. For me, the birth of my grandson, my first grandchild, was such a great joy. And just seeing him makes me light up. You know, you've seen me with Joseph. He comes running up because he wants to be the preacher. He wants to take my place. He started doing that when he was 2 because I used to spend a whole lot more time with him than I do now, and we have a special bond. There should be that special joy between every grandchild and grandparent. But it isn't always so. The reason I started meeting with that group of grandparents is that 4.2 million children across this nation are being raised by people who are not their parents. And most of it has to do with the opioid epidemic. There are a lot of difficult circumstances under which children are born, and Mary's was one of them. I listen at those meetings as the grandparents tell me how very difficult their lives are, how stretched they are financially, emotionally, how their energy level isn't sufficient, how very difficult it is. And so as I was pondering Mary's dilemma this week, I thought about the dilemma of those grandparents. What did they do in that circumstance? And you know they all said, yes, I'll take the child. We have other people in this congregation who are help raising nieces, nephews, great nephew. And those children are a source of joy in their lives, but it isn't unproblematic joy. The circumstances are tough. There are a lot of people in these difficult circumstances nowadays. And that's because evil has never disappeared from the world. It just takes a new face on every generation or so. Now, in Mary's case, the evil she was facing was judgmentalism, criticism, condemnation, condescension. The evil she was facing was from the judgment of the people she loved most, who loved her the most. And Mary said yes. And she said yes with great gusto and joy and didn't stop to think about, once Elizabeth greeted her, just decided to go forward full speed ahead and did this unusual, amazing thing. She praised God. Scripture tells us to thank God in all circumstances, but how many of us actually do that? I mean, it's really tough to give thanks to God when you're facing a moral dilemma, an ethical dilemma, an enemy, a problem. It's hard to give thanks to God in those circumstances. It's hard to give thanks to God when you're facing evil. Every child's birth should be accompanied by great joy, great excitement, great bliss. But it's only because Mary said yes that Jesus' birth and his childhood and his growing up were peaceful. It's only because both Mary and Joseph said yes that we have a Savior. Now, there are those who would say to you that God supplied, God chose the right people that he knew would say yes and equipped them to do it. And that is true. But she still had a choice. And so does each of us. We each have the choice under difficult circumstances to say yes to God with great joy, even when we're afraid and trembling. Julie told me about an experience she had last week. She got lost. For me, that's not unusual. I can get lost very easily. And so she did a very sensible thing. She pulled into a parking lot to check her cell phone for an address and figure out where she was supposed to go. And the minute she stopped her vehicle, a 95-year-old woman came and tapped on her window. It was snowy, it was cold, and this little old lady was lost and alone. Julie was lost too. Sometimes we're called to help people when we're not much better equipped than they are. Julie, by the way, is very bright and very clever and very helpful, and she was the right person for that situation and got the woman some help. But it isn't always when we're feeling on top of our game that God calls us to do something. And it certainly wasn't true for Mary. And it certainly isn't true for someone else I know who has answered God's call over and over again. I know a woman who, at a young age, answered God's call to go on a ship and serve God by providing dental services in Africa. I know a woman who has gone on mission trip after mission trip, serving God and encouraging others to do the same. I know a woman who several years ago, said yes to serving this church by uncovering its history. Marianne, would you come up and join me, please? I know a woman who has labored for several years now to work on the history of the church, acquiring it, gathering it, putting it together in ways that actually are useful. Marianne, I don't think it's an accident that you share a name with Mary and her mother. Her mother's name was Anne. Thank you for answering a divine call over and over and over again. Your work on behalf of the church has been tireless for the past 2 years, and even before that, I understand that before I came, you did the you helped in doing the 75th anniversary of the church. 95th. You're not old enough to have done the 75th?
No, that was my Aunt Mary.
Aunt Mary. It goes with the name.
Yeah, must be.
Okay. Now, let's not get too funny. I want to be serious here. Well, for at least the last 2 years, you have recruited, led, organized, reminded, served, researched, solicited, brainstormed, scheduled, ordered, created, funded, and more. I ran out of space on the card. We'll never know how much time, energy, and money you put into the centennial celebration of this church. But then again, like Mary, you didn't do it for us. You did it for the glory of God. And you, like Mary, never stopped singing God's praises while you were doing it. Even as you sang the praises of the people of the church who have gone before us and made a foundation for us, even as you found articles that described what they had done, you didn't just thank them and point them out to us. You always reminded us that it was God behind them, calling them and equipping them, who got the job done. Well, this congregation took up a love offering to give you. And so we have a present for you here. And I want to personally thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go away. Jeff has a song for you. Jeff has a song for you.
We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man who was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait, you used to when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Given to the Lord, I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." And another man stood before you, said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Given to the Lord, I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came." One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. little things that you had done, sacrifices made. I noticed only earth, heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. I was almost sure there was tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "Watch out, look around you, for great is your reward." Given to the Lord, I am a life that's been changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
Those words, you know, thank you to all of you that have been an influence in my life. You've changed my life. And I thank the Lord. Thanks.
Bless you.
Let's sing. Thank you. everyone is invited to stay after church for cake to recognize Mary Ann and thank her. And now receive the benediction.